All right, take your Bibles and turn back with me to Psalm 23. Psalm chapter 23. And this is the second message. I didn't get to finish the message last Sunday. Nine provisions of the Good Shepherd. I got to the Good Shepherd part, but I didn't get to the provisions. So tonight we're going to be looking at these provisions that are mentioned here in Psalm chapter 23. Now, the psalm begins with this statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, we went over this early in the message last Sunday that this picture of a shepherd in Scripture was used to picture the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You saw that when Jacob was blessing Joseph, he declared that out of Jacob should come a shepherd. That Christ should come from the seed of Jacob. And you remember our Lord Jesus Christ, when He did come into this world, He made this statement, "I am the good shepherd." I am the good shepherd. And the mission of the shepherd, the purpose of His coming, was to give His life for the sheep. And that's what Christ came into the world to do. He gave His life for the sheep. He paid their ransom price. And we who believe on Jesus Christ, we who have been called by the Spirit of God to faith in Christ, we may say this with confidence: the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus Christ is my shepherd. And notice this, that if Christ Jesus is your shepherd, if He has come to lay down His life for you, He says to His sheep, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The Lord Jesus Christ tells His sheep this: "You are my sheep, I am your shepherd. Therefore the sheep declare this, I shall not want. I shall not want." Now, every believer in Christ is not so foolish as to take this promise to be carnal. Do you have wants? Do you have needs? Let's just put it that way. Do you lack things? There are often times where we may lack health. We may lack food. We may lack provision. And so when we come to this verse here and we look at it and say, "Well, Lord, You promised that I should not lack anything." Well, that's not what He was talking about. We're not so foolish as to think that these are promises of earthly health and wealth and prosperity as religious people do in our day. They take that and say, "Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want." That means I'm going to get anything I have faith to get. If I just have enough faith, then the Lord's going to give it to me. It's not what He intends here. This is not a promise that we should somehow miss or avoid afflictions. If that's how men take this, then they are very disappointed in this text, if this is what you think it's about. Now listen what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12. He said, "Those that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution." Our Lord Jesus Christ told us in Himself, did He not? Our shepherd said, "In this world you shall have," what? "Tribulation." This is not a promise to avoid tribulation. Not a promise to avoid persecution. When the apostle was confirming the souls in Acts chapter 14 of those saints, exhorting them to continue in the faith, Acts 14:22, he says that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. So when this says, "I shall not want," it is not saying we are going to avoid or miss persecution, suffering, affliction. No, these are intended by our Savior for our good. So then if it's not stating this, then what does it mean here? What kind of provisions does he give us that we should not lack? Well, I believe there are nine here. I believe there are nine provisions in this text that every believer may take, and know this, you will not lack any one of them. You will not lack any one of them. Let's look at number one. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The first thing is, the sheep shall never lack nourishment. And this is spiritual, friends. Again, what good is it about carnal things? If God were to give you all the carnal health and prosperity, it's only temporal, isn't it? It's only going to last a little while. We're all going to get sick and we're all going to die. You can get all the wealth and keep it all your life, but eventually you're going to lose it. Those are temporal things. But these things that we are speaking of are spiritual. This is spiritual nourishment he is speaking of. Now, when we were lost, believer, we lived in a barren wilderness. We were lifeless. We could not produce anything. This world could not provide life. It could not quench the hunger for righteousness. But God, having sent His Son into this world, He has by His own hand obtained righteousness. Righteousness. He's done this for us, for His sheep. Christ came into the world to obtain righteousness for us. And when He gathers us, He gathers us from this barren desert, and what does He do? He makes us to lie down in the green pastures of His righteousness. He causes us to rest. He makes us to lay down upon His righteousness. Now, the vile nature that we have still, every believer identifies with this, that old nature still longs for the husks. Doesn't it? Doesn't it still clamor for the things of the world, the nature that is still in us? It longs for the husks of our sins, but God in grace and power has caused us to bend the knee. He maketh us to lie down. He maketh us to bow down before Christ. And He creates in us this hunger. Before we came to Christ, we really had no need of righteousness. We didn't know what we thought we could do that. We thought we could merit righteousness. We thought righteousness was nothing but trying to obey the law. We thought nothing of righteousness. But when God revealed our nature to us, we started to have a need for it. We saw we lacked righteousness. And we hungered for righteousness. He gave us a new nature to feel that hunger. And what did we do? We fed upon Christ. We fed upon Him. We by faith have tasted of Him, and we have laid down upon His righteousness to rest by faith upon Him. I tell you this, we as believers, we often do wander from these rich fields. Like sheep, we wander. We often find ourselves in barren places. But I like this. He maketh. And this is a good word. When you see that ETH, remember that's a constant thing. He constantly makes me to lie down upon His righteousness, to feed upon His righteousness. We wander from these fields of plenty. We wander back to the deserts, become malnourished, but consider the long suffering of our Savior to constantly make us lie down and rest upon Him. He often finds us and He brings us back. He brings us back to what? His righteousness. Isn't this comforting? To know that I do not make my own righteousness. That Christ has made all my righteousness. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Rest. And so he makes us to rest upon his righteousness and feed upon it. Remember in John 6, Jesus Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." So this is what it is. He makes us to eat of him and his righteousness. Secondly, he says this, he leadeth us beside the still waters. This speaks of peace. This speaks of peace. You shall not lack righteousness. That's great, isn't it? Isn't that good news? You're not lacking any righteousness. You'll never lack righteousness. Now just feed on it. Eat it. By faith, receive it. Secondly, you'll never lack peace. You'll never lack peace. He leadeth me beside the still water. Now, from what I've read about sheep, they cannot drink from running water. They're so fearful. They're so fretful that if the stream and the current is too fast, they won't drink from it. They're skittish. How often are we so fearful, so prone to sin, so prone to forget the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? So prone to forget the offering that our shepherd has made for our sins. We're so fearful that he'll leave us. Have you felt that fear? I don't think there's a greater fear to a believer's heart than him leaving me. I don't think I have a greater fear than that. But see this, the shepherd leads us. No matter where we are, no matter the storms that we are facing, the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave you. He will lead you. Did you know this? There's something God can't do. God can't lie. Can't do it. It's impossible for God to lie. God can't fail. When God says he's doing something, it's impossible for God to fail. God cannot be deceived. But I like this one. God cannot deny himself. That should give you peace. This should give you comfort that God cannot deny himself. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:13. He said this, listen, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Now how do we know that he's going to abide faithful? When our faith is gone, when our faith is pure gone. Listen, Paul says, he is faithful. And what? How do you know he's faithful? Paul, listen. Paul said this. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself. How often is our faith gone? You know, Mark chapter 4, when the apostles were on the Lord said, get in the boat, we're going across the sea. And you remember the Lord went down there and he went to sleep. And that storm come up, and they had tried everything in their power. And they knew this. They were going to die. And they came to the Lord while he was asleep, and they said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And he got up in love, in mercy, rebuked the wind, and it was calm. You suppose they were in any more danger with the storm raging than the storm being calm? If the Lord was in the boat, they were safe. Yet they're, listen what he said to them. He said, how is it you had no faith? Now he said, many times he said, you of little faith. But this time was different. He said, how is it that you had no faith at all? Sometimes the shepherd leads us into fearful places. Storms beat against our vessel. We are tried. The waters of temptation flood our souls. We are about to sink, and we say with them, Lord, carest thou not that I perish? And the Lord comes in grace and mercy and calms the storm and looks at us and says, how is it that you had no faith? Yet this is the hope. This is the calm stream. Listen to this. He cannot deny himself. Did he cast those disciples off because they had no faith? Will he cast you off when you have no faith? You see this calm water? He cannot deny himself. Let's hear the voice of this calm stream. God cannot change. He is perfect in everything he does. He chose us. He decreed our salvation. Jesus Christ purchased it. The Spirit of God applied it. The Spirit of God keeps it. God will never impute our sins to us because Christ has put them away forever. Therefore, God will never forsake us even when our faith is gone. He will not forsake us. Why? He cannot deny himself. Do you see how much you are in union with Christ? That to deny you, he would have to deny Christ. That's how much we are in union with him. So come now and drink from this stream. See how peaceful it is? Christ hath made peace for us by the blood of his cross. He's made peace. So guess what? There's peace. Now, what in the world could disrupt this peace? What earthly thing, what earthly being, what heavenly being can disrupt this peace? He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's peace between you and God. Because all our salvation is not dependent in any way upon us, but totally upon Christ. Thirdly, look at this. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. When Jesus, our shepherd, died, he restored everything that Adam lost. Everything that Adam lost. He restored the glory of God. He restored the righteousness of God. He made peace with God by the blood of his cross. And at the appointed time, he restored our soul. Listen what he said in Psalm 69. This is Christ upon the cross in prophecy. He said, save me. Save me, O God. For the waters are coming to my soul. I sink deep in the mire where there is no standing. I am come to deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. You see him hanging upon the tree. You see his enemies. You see the floods of God's wrath and justice pouring over his soul constantly. Listen to what he said. Then I restored that which I took not away. He restored everything our Father lost. Our Father brought death. Christ brought life. Adam brought sin. Christ brought righteousness. Adam brought condemnation. Christ brought redemption, pardon, and peace. He restored everything that our Father lost. And then in time, He restored our soul from death to life. He restored our soul from death to life. He imparted to us a holy, sinless nature by which we seen our sins and confess Him and receive Him. He gave us a nature by which we could believe. You see the miracle of faith? You see that faith is a miracle? I know that modern religion don't see faith any more than as a decision you make. But faith is a miracle. Faith is a gift of God, not of works. And so you that believe, consider the miracle of this. He has restored your soul. He has made it holy, acceptable unto God. This is His provision for you. He's given you a holy nature. We know this because of the old man of sin, we are often wearied. Though we have this new nature, of holy nature given to us, yet we're wearied because of the old man of sin. We desire to believe Him, but soon find that our faith is gone. Our faith, oftentimes, we cry, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. The old man of sin weighs us down, and our inability to be as holy as we would, to love Him as we should, to believe on Him like we want to, weighs us down and we become weary. But what does He constantly do? He constantly restores us, refreshes us in the inner man. This is what preaching is for. This is what the Word of God is for. To restore our souls. To restore our confidence and hope that's not in ourselves but in Him. Micah said in Micah 7 verse 18, it says, Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? That passeth by transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever because He delighteth in mercy. Again, did you notice every ETH in that one? Listen, He pardoneth. He passeth by the transgression. He just continually passes it by. Continually passes it by. Continually pardons it. He retaineth not His anger forever. He never is going to retain His anger forever. He just does not go keep it. He delighted in mercy. You see, don't that restore your soul? He restoreth, again the ETH, He restoreth my soul. He has restored it, didn't He? He restored it when He converted me. I tell you this, He's right now restoring my soul through hearing of His provisions. And you know what I have hope? I have hope He'll continue to do that. He'll continue to restore my soul. Listen to this. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Blessed thought. He leadeth me. I like this. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Do you realize your salvation is for His name's sake? In that covenant of grace, Ezekiel 36, what did he say first? Before he even gave the covenant, what did he tell Israel? He said, I do this not for your sakes. Now listen, I tell you what, if God did it for my sake, I can see why he wouldn't undo it. If it's for my sake, because I'm not worthy of it, are you? No, but he didn't do it for my sake. He does it for his own name's sake. He's doing this for himself. You got that? He's saving you for himself. I do this for my own name's sake. So our righteousness was decreed by the Father. Our righteousness was obtained by the Son. Our righteousness was imputed and imparted by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, all our days he will lead us in paths of righteousness. Constant, perpetual faith in the righteousness of Christ. And this is a firm path, friends. This is a firm footing. He leads me in a firm foundation. The foundation by which I have hope of standing before God is the righteousness of Christ. That's my hope. That's my standing. He leads me in that path every day. It points me to Christ. Look at number 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Here's the fifth one. His sheep shall never lack his presence. His sheep shall never lack his presence. How often do we feel that God is not present? If I'd be honest, I'd tell you right now. A lot of times you just don't feel it. Like I told you before the service, sometimes you just feel like a dried up twig. You don't have any sense that he's near. We read, we pray, we hear the word of God, and our hearts are cold. Our minds are indifferent. Our ears are dull of hearing. So we wrongly assume he's left me. Well, let's just be honest. It's the other way around. We've left him. We've left him. So when we feel distance between us and our shepherd, listen to this promise. In the darkest of circumstances, even on the brink of death, though we are walking under the darkness of sickness and fear of death, here is the confidence, thou art with me. This is an emphatic statement. Even though I'm in the darkest place I can possibly be, this is why I will not fear. You are with me. You're with me. Thou art with me. In fact, to the sheep, death then is only a shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is a shadow. You know that? It's a fearful shadow to us, isn't it? But it's a shadow nonetheless. You know why? The power of death is removed. Sin. The sting of death was sin. And now sin has been removed. Don't you realize that death is nothing more than a temporal separation between the spirit and the body? We must put off this corruptible so that one day it would be raised incorruptible. So death to us, to believers, should not be anything more than a shadow. And so long as we are under this shadow, we should then fear no evil. Why? Because he is with me. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yes. That's what God said. Are you afraid? God says, I'm with you. Yes, I'll strengthen you. Need strength? Yes, I'll strengthen you. Yes, I'm going to be with you. I'll uphold you with my right hand. Number six, we're to give thanks to our shepherd for the provision of his rod and his staff. Look at that. It said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, you've seen these shepherd's rods. There's one end that's a stick end, and there's one that's a crooked end. And that has a meaning. This rod, this blunt end of the shepherd's staff has three purposes. It is used by the shepherd to count the sheep. Count them. Secondly, it is used to correct the sheep. And thirdly, it is used to destroy their enemies. And so as we see this rod of the shepherd, we understand this. This should comfort you because God has brought you into His fold. He has counted you as one of His own. I like this. He says, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. Father gave them me. I know my sheep. And listen, and am known of mine. You know Him? If you've heard His voice, you know Him. You believe on Him. And He has counted you into His fold. He has smitten us in our hearts and caused us to bow under His authority. And secondly, that rod is also used to correct His sheep. This was written, when a sheep was prone to wander from a shepherd, they'd use that rod and they'd break the leg of the sheep. They'd break that leg of the wandering sheep. And consider this. It might have been painful for the sheep. But consider the work that the shepherd had to do. He would then bind that leg and carry the sheep. This is us in our chastisement. Consider this. He wounds us. But really, who's bearing the weight here? It's Christ. Because all the while you're chasing, guess what? Who's carrying who? He binds our wounds. And He carries us on His shoulder. What a gentle, loving... This should comfort you. He said, that's why Paul said, when you are chastened of Him, don't despise the chastisement of God. Whom He loveth, He does what? Chasteneth. And scourgeth every son. And if you be without chastisement, then are you not sons but bastards. So we are grateful for His chastening rod. And consider that rod as the third thing. Is that rod was meant to destroy His enemies. That's exactly what Christ did with our enemies, didn't He? He destroys our enemies. Sin, death, hell, Satan, the world. Christ has by His death put away our sin, suffered hell upon the cursed tree for us. He has overcome the world and now rules over all things to give eternal life to as many as the Father has given Him. And lastly, that staff, that crooked end of the sheep, that's always used to guide the sheep. It's always to move them in the right way. Don't that comfort you that you're not going to get out of the way? I'm tell you what, I'm fearful. I'd just get out of the way. I know this. That comforts me when He puts me back in the way. Doesn't it? When He comes along and I'm telling you see something in this world and you just say, man, I got to have that. And God says, no. Come over here. Get away. Get away from that. And He guides me over here. And then you look back and you say, well, man, I'm so thankful.
I'm so thankful He guides me. He leads me away from the things that this flesh wants. Don't let me have what I want. Every time I pass by that lottery thing, you know, you see that $170 million up there, you say, oh Lord, don't let me win that. Keep me away from that. That's why I don't even buy a ticket, because I might win it. It might be the worst thing for you, Pastor. Don't do that. But He guides us. What a loving shepherd. What a comfort that is. And seventh, this, He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Now, when sheep as sheep of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know this, we are always among wolves. Always. This table, this is His Word, His Gospel. It's Himself that we feed upon. As I told you, He lays down in these green pastures and we feed upon His righteousness, we feed upon His blood. Listen, but where is this church? This church, we feed on the gospel in the midst of our enemies. Listen what Christ prayed in John 17. He said, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, even as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. We are as sheep among wolves, but know this, none of them can touch us without His permission. Isn't this amazing? It's as though He puts His church in the middle of this world and says, I dare you to take one of them. How many will He lose? How many sheep will this shepherd lose to wolves? My shepherd said this, I shall lose nothing. Doesn't this comfort you? No matter what's going on, friends, and there's a lot of trouble going on around us, isn't there? A nation that we I'm thankful for it, but we're watching the collapse of it. Don't worry. None of this is going to hurt you. None of this will remove you. He prepares for you a feast in the midst of this. Your table is prepared. When He says that table, you know, I think about that, what the Lord Jesus Christ said in that parable. He said, there was a man who made a feast. And He said, you go bid him to come and say this, all things are ready. Isn't this what we feed on? Isn't this our hope? All things are ready. I like that. What do you got to bring? Nothing. Don't bring anything to this table. All things are ready. And when I think of this table, I also think about Mephibosheth sitting at the king's table. Oh, who could hurt Mephibosheth sitting at the king's table? Who could hurt you sitting at the king's table? He puts us in the midst of our enemies and He says this, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And the eighth thing is this, He continually anoints us with the Spirit. He said, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You know, these sheep, they were constant need of anointing with oil to keep the bugs out of their ears and stuff. I mean, it was a constant annoyance to the sheep, and so this oil would be like a repellent to these bugs. They wouldn't get inside their ears. And
What a picture this is of what the Spirit of God does. He didn't allow anything to get in here. He repels anything that would annoy us. And what is the Spirit's job? What does the Spirit do? He testifies of Christ. He's got one purpose in this, to point us continually to Christ. What removes all the annoyances? Christ. What keeps these bugs out of our brain? Christ. That's why we only have one message. Christ. Every provision that I've mentioned to you tonight, who provided it? Christ. It's all Him. He's the shepherd. He made these provisions. And He has given us the Spirit of God to continually anoint us, dwell inside us, and the cup of blessings overflows. How much forgiveness does the Spirit of God give us? How much? How much forgiveness do you get? Well, that cup just keeps running over, doesn't it? It never is empty. Forgiveness of sins. Faith. Continuance in faith. Love, hope, joy, peace, meekness, all of the fruit of the Spirit, constantly running over. Constantly running over. And the last thing is this, goodness and mercy. He said this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. How is it you're going to reach glory? How is it you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Goodness and mercy. The goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance, isn't it? Where do you see the goodness of God? You see it in Christ, in the offering of Jesus Christ, His Son. You see the goodness of God. The love of God, the mercy of God. And I like this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us. I tell you what. Usually in the present circumstances, I don't see goodness and mercy. Do you? Just blind to it. It's usually only after we get out of these troubles, we look back and what do we see? Oh, look. Surely goodness and mercy just followed me. It just follows me. Everywhere I go, it follows me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. How long? All the days of my life. When will God stop being good to you? When will God stop having mercy on you? All the days of your life. All the days of your life. And because of His provisions, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's hard to read this and look in the mirror. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There is no way He can do that by looking at me. Only by looking at His Son can He have any pleasure in giving me anything. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. So we see these provisions. He nourishes us and makes us to lie down upon His righteousness and feed. He gives us peace. He leads us beside the still waters because God cannot deny Himself. He'll never deny you. He restored my soul. He restored all that Adam lost. He restored my soul and gave me life. Then he leads me in paths of righteousness, constantly leading me to look to his righteousness. Even in the darkest of our circumstances, we have this promise, he shall always be with us. He prepared us a table, even in the presence of our enemies, so that none of them is able to pluck us out of his hand. He anoints us with the Spirit of God so that all the blessings of Christ overflow to us. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. These are the provisions of the shepherd. And they are constant and they are eternal. They're not changed by circumstance or time. They're yours. Forever. Is he not the good shepherd? There's no one better. No one better. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want any of these provisions. Not one. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Our gracious Father, thank you for the shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you take these things and cause us to feed upon them and rejoice over them and give thanks for them. I'm so thankful that you have called me to faith in Christ. Thankful for these that you have called to yourself. Comfort them. Strengthen us. We pray you'd do it in Christ's name.